Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 81 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyrer, your host, and today my guest is David Diggs. David is a solo practitioner here in Maryland, but as you're going to hear, while he's been a solo now for just about 6 months, he's a well-established and seasoned veteran attorney who has worked in big law for most of his legal career, and only, as I said, 6 months ago, decided to go out solo. So his challenges and his hurdles are different by definition because he was able to bring a book of business with him. And as you'll hear, he had a couple of other situations that made the transition a little smoother than most or that some people would have. But it's a really interesting kind of contrast to some of the other guests that we've had who've had to start from scratch and do things a little differently. So I think it's a great juxtaposition of viewpoints, and I hope you enjoyed this interview with David Diggs. David Diggs, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, David. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I've been practicing law for 30 years. For 29 and a half of those years, I worked for other people. And about, it's almost exactly 6 months ago. It'll be 6 months ago on Sunday, October 1st. I decided to hang out a shingle and see what happened running my own shop.
What form of law were you focusing on when you were employed by others, and is that different than what you're focusing on now?
I've always done family law and tort litigation. I guess I started doing more family law. When I was a new attorney, I did a little bit of everything, did some criminal defense. But in recent years, it's been pretty exclusively tort and family law. I also do some family law mediation, and that really hasn't changed with moving from my prior firm to my solo practice.
Okay. So kind of like a little bit the opposite of me, I started off doing personal injury tort litigation and then migrated to include family law. Mm-hmm. So just kind of the opposite approach. So you've been now a solo for 6 months. How is it going?
It's really going well. I knock on wood when I say that. It has exceeded my wildest dreams. I had a vision of having X amount in the bank by the end of the year, and we had that within 3 months. So I should have been doing as well previously as I'm doing now. There's just something incredibly liberating about doing it on your own and having your own practice, as you probably know.
Well, certainly for one thing, you become a little bit more in control of your time and what we euphemistically refer to as the work-life balance. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, it's strange. My wife would probably tell you I'm working a little more, but I'm a lot happier. Mm-hmm. And if I've hit the wall at 5 o'clock, I'll go home. I'll come in at 3 a.m. and get some things done. It's just I do have the advantage of having an office that's 6 miles from my home, so I'm here at all odd hours. Probably working a little more than I used to, but certainly working a lot more effectively, I think.
Well, you probably have more hats to wear than you did before.
That's true. I probably had the easiest transition from a firm to a solo practice of anybody I know. I actually, my prior firm, whom I still love and respect very much, I'll give them a plug, Consmith & Collins in Baltimore City, I opened their Anne Arundel County office for them 6 years ago. And so I was, you know, still a member of a firm, but I was in this space here in Millersville on my own. And frankly, you know, it sounds a little trite coming from a divorce lawyer, but my former firm and I grew apart. I think the thing that held me back for, I've said many times the last 6 months, I wish I'd done this 10 years ago, you know, but fear held me back. I was afraid of meeting a payroll and, you know, generating my own business. And I relied upon the comfort of knowing I had a paycheck coming no matter what. But it hasn't been nearly as scary as I thought it would be.
Well, we hear that frequently from people embarking on a solo career. The whole story in terms of, I wish I'd done it earlier, and it was fear that held me back. And it's not an uncommon story, but in your situation, it turned out to be easier than you thought. Was that because you were able to take some business with you, or because of the relationships and referral sources that you had developed to start with?
All of the above. First of all, I stayed in the same place. So instead of having to move and find a new location, I scouted out other locations because I wasn't sure that my prior firm would allow me to take over their lease, but they did. They were happy to have that liability off their books. So I'm in the same office I've been for 6 years. All I had to do was buy new computers. They wanted their old computers back.
Right.
And, you know, as far as the business goes, we had a shareholders agreement that was such, and the law is pretty straightforward on this. It's up to the client whether they stay with the prior firm or go with the departing attorney. And that's what our shareholder agreement said. And I had 100 ongoing cases, exactly 100 ongoing cases at the time. So we sent out 100 joint letters and 99 came back wanting to stay with us. So I took those 99 cases. The one case that stayed with my prior firm was a delightful lady who's from Puerto Rico and is Spanish speaking. And she had an excellent relationship with the Baltimore office's Spanish speaking paralegal. So I wish her well. And
understandable under the circumstances.
Yeah.
So, well, it sounds like while you may have gotten divorced from your previous firm, it was an amicable and uncontested divorce.
It's been very amicable. I would say there's one remaining contested issue we got to work out, but...
But by and large, it's as easy as they come these days. You essentially, all you had to do was change the nameplate on the front door.
Essentially, that's it. You know, send down 100 letters. It's a little more than that. You know, notice of all your court cases. I still have to change, you know, forms I'm working on and remember, oh, it's not Consmith Collins anymore.
I remember one solo practitioner said to me that the worst part was changing the mailing address.
You know? That's something I worried a lot about, and I'm real lucky. You know, I kept the same phone number, same mailing address.
Well, that part is terrific. Now, having said that, did you know for a while that you wanted to entertain the idea of going solo, or were you looking at maybe catching on with on another ship?
I certainly mulled my choices and thought about going elsewhere to work with others, and it just came down to this is what I wanted to do.
What was the motivating factor for going solo?
I wanted to have my name on the door. I wanted to, you know, captain my own ship, and I thought, and I've been proven that I'm going to make a little more money this way.
Yeah, well, and you have a unique story with respect to, say, some of the other guests that we've had on the show, in that you did this a little later on in the process. You'd already put in 25 years as a practicing attorney.
I'm actually, it's 30 years now. So,
yeah. Well, we're supposed to be making ourselves look younger, not older, as this conversation goes on. But this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work you have to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that strengthens your practice and can save you hours each week. D-Light has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and more cases without adding stress or chaos. With D-Light, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. No more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. And D-Light now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone on your team is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings. To learn how D-Light can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/D-Light. And be sure to let them know that you heard about D-Light through the Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Getting a new website design can be a real pain point for attorneys. You're busy practicing law and running your firm, and the last thing you can afford is to waste time dealing with an incompetent design team that doesn't understand what you're trying to accomplish. So if you've been putting off that new website for your law firm, I get it. But what if I told you that getting a new website created for your law firm doesn't have to suck? My friends at Spotlight Branding pride themselves on their responsiveness, on great communication, and on delivering results for their clients. And unlike many law firm marketing companies out there, Spotlight Branding doesn't lock their clients into long-term contracts. In fact, they offer a no-risk, money-back guarantee on their work so you can have total peace of mind while you work with them. I trust the team at Spotlight Branding, as you know, to build and manage my website, as well as manage my social media strategy, my monthly email newsletter, and a whole lot more. I recommend them to solo and small firm attorneys every chance that I get. They're currently offering a special gift for our listeners, so visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE to learn more. Brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. So in terms of kind of caseload and managing the practice, that wasn't a hurdle that you needed to get over. What do you think has been or will be the biggest hurdle for you to address?
My biggest hurdle is working with adapting to the technology. The technology is my friend. We've got a website, but I need to spend more time on it. I have in mind having a Facebook page, but I haven't gotten around to that. So those are the sorts of things that I've been slow. You know, I'm busy working on client cases all the time, and I need to make time to do the bigger picture marketing and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think when we talk to others embarking on a solo career, you know, one of the things I say to us frequently is that, you know, in the beginning, I have more time than money. And so I'm able to spend a lot of time setting up systems, you know, setting up marketing plans and working my referral system. But as I get more successful, I've got more money than I have time. And so having brought over a caseload and having a successful practice already, you're now at that point where time is the critical element for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that folks that have spoken a lot about, and I frankly have expanded on this program, is outsourcing as much of the work as I can. Is that something a strategy that you're contemplating?
It is something I'm contemplating. I'm having lunch next week with a paralegal who does that sort of thing. I have three paralegals on staff. They're all terrific. And
I've been with you for a while.
Yeah. I had two paralegals here with my prior firm, and they've stayed on. And the third paralegal that I brought on is my lovely and delightful wife, who is, you know, really serving as office manager and sort of tech guru and those sorts of things.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your technology. So you said you had to buy new computers. Did you change platforms, or did you use that as an opportunity to upgrade? What were you coming from, and where did you land?
Good question. We did change platforms. So being a Anne Arundel County office to a Baltimore City firm, I had a remote connection, which was, you know, worked most of the time, but when it didn't, that was a hassle. I'd been doing that for I guess, almost 6 years. And, you know, they had a big old server in their Baltimore office. So we just give all the credit to my wife and tech guru. We investigated a lot of different options and decided to go with a cloud-based system. We have what I like, case management software. I guess it's even more than that, is something called MyCase.
Sure.
Other solos have used and recommended. They're still working out some of the glitches. It doesn't have the best billing program, and they've actually made some changes for us, but everything's there for the client. The client portal's ingenious, and you know, I don't have to send a client copies of letters. It's downloaded there, and they know we're working on the case when I don't even have to reach out to them, because they're looking at the client portal every day. So that is that's been a significant improvement.
How has the training curve been for your staff?
It wasn't too hard at all. The two pre-existing paralegals are doing what they've done all along. And my wife, office manager, tech guru, has been the person who communicates with my case, who does the billing. You know, that was something new for me to an extent. You know, I had with the firm, we had a billing manager, office manager who took care of all that. So I'm a little more hands-on, but it's also easier because of the new system.
So you're working out those issues and starting to use that system to handle both your case management and your billing.
That's right.
Is it also handling your client relationships in terms of, you know, emails and communications and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it is. In fact, there is a function that's like email. You know, through the MyCase portal, you can message the client, which would probably be more efficient. But I'm just an old dinosaur, still used to email. So I'm, you know, you can incorporate those emails into the system. It's an extra step, but
right, you can log those emails into your MyCase database.
Right.
And you can communicate from within the MyCase database to your client. So it gives you some flexibility in terms of keeping your clients up to date. And as you said, with the client portal, they can peek in and see what you're doing and how you're working on their case without having to spend the time to contact you and run up that clock.
That's right.
Well, tell us a little bit then. You were fortunate to be able to start your practice with a full workload, but at some point in time, you're going to have to be marketing your firm. What are your plans? What are your ideas about how to go about approaching the process of marketing your business?
I guess I've been a pretty much old-fashioned hands-on marketer. I've been involved in a lot of different bar groups. I'm a past president of the Maryland Association for Justice, the trial lawyers. I'm still active in that group, and I get a lot of family law referrals from my MAJ friends. I've been active in the American Association for Justice, and I've got several out-of-state attorneys who refer me, you know, their clients in for auto accident cases. Unfortunately, folks going to or from their homes in Pennsylvania, New Jersey are involved in auto accidents as they go through Maryland. And through AAJ, the National Organization of Trial Lawyers, I've been pretty successful in marketing to them. I'm active in our local Inns of Court here in Anne Arundel County, and I've done a few other things. I'm speaking to the Baltimore County Family Law Bar in November on domestic torts, and I've kind of been doing cultivating a subspecialty on the intersection between family law and tort law, whether it's, you know, suing your spouse for a tort or protecting your auto accident settlement from a marital property award. So,
sure. Well, so it sounds to me like, as one would expect, that over the long career that you've had, that you really do have a very fleshed out referral network, and that it's just a matter of keeping your name and your practice top of mind with all of these referral sources in order to continue to feed the funnel of new clients into the business.
That's well said.
You know, also, I note you mentioned that you were speaking before one of the bar associations. You do a fair amount of speaking around the state, do you not?
I do. I've been asked to speak a little bit.
So referral marketing and some public speaking as your primary source for getting the name out of the new law firm. Mm-hmm. Managing your time is in the short term is going to be a challenge. Do you have a sense that, you know, some of the new technologies, social media, will start and play more of a role, or are you going to just kind of keep that on the sideline for a while?
I think that's important. I was doing a better job, frankly, before I opened my own business. I had been active on LinkedIn. I'd been trying to post an article. Maybe I was trying to do an article a week, and sometimes I'd miss a few weeks. But I got some good feedback from those, and folks would say, "Hey, I saw this on LinkedIn or that." I've gotten away from that, and my intention is to get back to it. I think having a firm Facebook page in this day and age is essential, and I'm making a note to myself to get that done.
Great.
Yeah, but you know, you gotta handle the existing clients first before you can spend money and time going after the other ones.
Absolutely, for sure. Tell us about staffing. Now, you said you had the two paralegals who came with you, and you've brought in the super paralegal who controls everything. Do you envision an opportunity to expand beyond having one attorney, or is your preference to maintain the coursework such that or casework such that you handle it all yourself for the time being?
I'm ragingly ambivalent about that, and part of it's been decided for me. I signed a 5-year lease when I started anew, and there's just no room to add another attorney.
Sure.
Now.
Yeah.
I think with telecommuting and whatnot, it could probably be doable, but I wouldn't ask a new lawyer to work when he or she didn't have an office.
Right.
We could probably squeeze one more in here if we had to.
Well, you know, we had a guest on early in our series, Lisa Solomon, who runs a virtual service for contract attorneys. That might be something to look into, you know, if you get to that point. Or you can follow the advice that somebody gave me that said, you know, just keep raising your rates until you get the level of work that you're comfortable with.
That's a thought.
Yeah.
I have decided to, I've always had an accelerator on my annual rate. It goes up every year, and I've decided to increase it a little more this year. So that's part of the equation.
Yeah. It was, I remember it was at one of the State Bar Association gatherings back down in Ocean City. And I forget the lady who spoke about retainer agreements. And I remember the quote that she said, you know, keep raising your rates until the workload levels off at a level that you're comfortable with. And then, you know, you've maximized your earning potential. And I just thought that was actually kind of brilliant advice.
Absolutely.
So, well, David, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. Tell our audience a little bit how they can go about touching base with you and reaching out to you if they have further questions they'd like to explore.
Thanks, Neil. I guess the best way to reach me is email. I'm david@digslaw.com.
Okay.
You're certainly welcome to call.
And that's Diggs with 2 G's, right?
Diggs with 2 G's, yes.
Terrific. All right, David. Well, thanks ever so much for being a guest here on The Law Entrepreneur, and we'll catch up with you a little later on down the road.
Thank you very much, Neil. It was fun.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency And therefore, it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.